Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, joining me this week for the Thursday interview is Louise Cantillon. Hello, Louise.
Ciara, cuid is tathu.
Go Hanway. I'm feeling actually nervous speaking not Irish beforehand. In front of you. This is a nightmare for me.
No, please don't. No, and that is what we're trying to tell people not to ever. It's funny, isn't it, though, how as soon as you sit down with Dina Thogailgecha, you're like, can I keep up?
And Madra, like Milshon, like, what other words do I know? You please don't ask me to put a sentence together.
As long as you don't ask me to go to the bathroom, I'll scoil Ciara, because we're gone beyond that. Then we're friends.
How often do you get that line?
Oh my God, on Tamra Fad, it's like, isn't it? I don't find it funny anymore. I'm just going to go and say that. I think, oh, well, Catherine would go to Everest.
What about Leinishko screwed the screwed map? What was that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Leinishko Kurmak, the screwed up air.
I mean, maybe it's more useful to you. Read this carefully. I don't know. I think, listen, do you quit? Do you have that? Conus Thotu, Cadean Crack. And you're lovely as well, Donegal, Dulcet Tones, Ciara.
I know, I'm going to work on it. Okay, I'll put it on the long list of things to improve on
the list
through 2026. List of father.
Shouldn't I?
Okay, I am improvement. From my research today, it seems that this is your anniversary. Do you know this?
Go on Irish Radio. On
Today FM, the 8th of January last year is when you started your programme. Am I right?
Oh my goodness, you're dead right. Yeah. Oh, you and my mother are the only people who've acknowledged that today. So, Carmila Magath. Yeah, still on air, thank God.
Did your mother text you to say, it's your anniversary, well done, I'm very proud of you? Or what did she say?
What did she say to me? I'll have to read the text. Do you know what? In fairness to her, mom is very good with dates. She's one of these people who, you know, will always remember a birthday. So she was straight in this morning and she said, Cogordicus Louise Govley and Aaron Show are Today FM. Cara Bigelnaum. Where did the time go? Fair enough and true. It flies.
And tell me, how do you feel 2 year anniversary?
Yeah,
so
I know.
How does it feel now when you look back at the person who started the programme on the 8th of January 2024? Oh, to the girl who you are now, the woman you are now.
Great question. I feel like I should be putting this into like a thoughts journal for January 26. Sure, it's been the best time. It's been great crack. I moved to Dublin a year before that and I actually, so much happened in 2024. I got married. I left my husband geographically and moved out, and it was such a funny start to like married life, but so exciting as well, getting the job on Today FM and yeah, getting to spend my lunchtimes with the people of Ireland, having the crack, playing music. I, you know, because I was a teacher before this, Ciara, so I had a taste of what it was like to be in a maybe more traditional 9 to 5. So I count my blessings every day. I'm like, I can't believe I get to call this a job.
I was looking back at how it all began for you and I read that you had sent an email to someone within Spin and said, any chance you give me my own programme, which I thought was just really, really gutsy thing to do.
Talk about the Lear OG that I had when I was 18. I was working at the time, yeah, as part of a promotional team, the Spinnies. We used to drive around little Mini Coopers in the Southwest when I was in college. And I remember being so fascinated by the studio and the presenters. And I was like, oh, I'd love to give that a go. Like, they're getting paid to talk deadly. And everyone was like, you just send an email, ask, you have to ask a question. And at the time, I remember emailing a woman, Nessa McGann, she was in radio for years. Could I have, imagine this, like, any chance I could have a radio show? She was like, no, that's not how it works. But she asked me a question and it's still, you know, it still has stuck with me all these years later. She said, what do you have that the station doesn't already? And I remember being like, oh, I could do a show off Gaeilge, because Vi Gaeilge going to Savalia. And I emailed back to be like, any chance I could do a 10 spin hits in a row show, but do it 10 spin hits off Gaeilge. And honestly, she took a chance on that and she said, do it, give it a shot. And I started presenting an Irish show. And that was the end. That was the door opening.
And what do you think it was about the industry that attracted you? Because as you say, you were studying to be a teacher at that point. You went on to become a PE and an Irish teacher, but your heart was somewhere else.
Yeah.
What was drawing you to that world, to that career?
Do you know, I think I was like, imagine getting paid for talking. I love talking, and imagine getting paid for it. That'd be great. And also, like, it is all of the cliches, like the lights, camera, action. Sure, I thought that there was nothing more glamorous, and I still believe that, than working in TV and radio. I still feel excited every day I see the on-air light, you know, the mic light come on in studio. And like that with anything I've done in TV as well, it's, I love it. I just love the industry.
But do you look back at an 18-year-old Louise Cantlin and think, oh my God, you did have, as you say, Lira G, you really were ballsy.
Yeah.
Is that just youth, or were you always that person? Were you always confident?
Oh, I don't know, was I always that confident? But you're right. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Maybe when you're younger, there's an innocence that comes with, you know, you're like, Asher, of course I could do that. How hard can presenting a radio show be? Well, jeepers, listen, let me tell you, I've learned that it's not as easy as I thought. But yeah, maybe there is a like naivety that comes with youth. And I'm so glad I sent that email. And I would always, people ask me often on social media, or young girls or fellas trying to break into the industry, how do we get in? What do we do? And I think sometimes you do have to back yourself and have that confidence. And even still, I'm sure you feel like that, Ciara, because it's such a fickle industry, even as you grow in it. You kind of, if you don't back yourself, I sometimes don't know who else will.
You did teach, though.
Yeah.
For 3 years. I mean, you were only 21 years when you went into the classroom. What's your memories of that time?
Yeah, I was really lucky. I taught in a lovely school in North Cork in Mallow. And you're right, I was 21 teaching Leaving Cert Irish. So I often think, like, I was about 3 years older than the girls in my class.
Practically meeting them on nights out.
Yeah. But you know, we had a ball. And I met a girl recently, actually, who told me she'd gone on to study journalism. She's now qualified and working somewhere in Dublin. But she was like, we always called you Miss... Okay, I can't say that word on air.
It's not a compliment.
Rhymes with witch. And they called me that because they were like, you were all go, you'd come in and be so cross, asking us about our homework and all this. And I was like, maybe that was kind of putting your foot down and trying to be authoritative when you're so young. But anyway, she went on to say, I always remember in fourth year, they were in transition year, you showed us this band, right? That were like, you were like, they're my mates at the time. They're going to blow up and be really big. They're rapping us Gaeilge. They're from Belfast. It's so cool. And it was Kneecap. So there you go, you know?
Wow, yeah. So you were a cool teacher, never mind being that other thing that they called you.
Well, I was probably that too.
You did decide to take a career break after going down the more, I suppose, sensible route of getting a permanent and pensionable job in teaching. How did your family react to that?
Grand. Like, my mother is a teacher and was a teacher for years as well, and she was very much like, the career break is there to be taken. It's a great opportunity for any young teachers, I would say. And I was lucky enough, I'd gotten my NQT qualifications, so once you have that, you have up to 5 years to go and come back, and I just never went back. But I didn't leave teaching because I didn't particularly not like it. It wasn't anything like that. It was more so that opportunities were coming up, and I felt that, was I missing out on, you know, potentially presenting that show on TG Cahir or taking that radio job if I stayed in a teaching job that I knew would always be there? So I just, I was young and I was like, let's take a leap of faith. And I'm so glad I did.
And you did take a huge leap of faith. Yeah. And it's absolutely worked out for you. And you do now live in Dublin. You said it took a streak of madness to do that, but you and your husband both have it. You're clearly both motivated, ambitious people.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for saying that. I think so. Do you know what? We both stayed in Limerick in like after college in the 2015, 2014, 2016 years, when so many of our friends went to Australia and travelled and left and didn't stay in Ireland and get jobs. And I think, you know, he hurled for years with Limerick. I was working in radio at the time. And yeah, I think we just threw ourselves into wanting to be successful in what we were doing at the time, because we weren't travelling or doing anything like that. So we were kind of in Ireland anyway. And I'm glad that we did. We worked really hard, respectively, I think. And yeah, I do feel it's paid off.
And you've made sacrifices, because does he remain now in Limerick, or since he gave up the hurling, have you managed to get him up to Dublin?
Yeah, I'm slowly coaxing him up the road bit by bit. I think like a move is imminent. I don't know. Yeah,
not due to Limerick, obviously. There's only one way traffic here.
Well, I don't know if I'd manage the commute every day. No, I think so. Like, he's obviously retired as of last sporting year, 2025. So I think 26 is exciting. Yeah, he's spending a lot more time in Dublin for sure. And it's great. I really am enjoying that.
You say now you're in Dublin and you have put roots down in Dublin, and now it looks like Declan might come even and live in Dublin with you. But do you still have that? What is it? It's like a pull home. Do you get that to Limerick?
Yeah, totally. It's probably the same with you in Donegal. Is it something about the West Coast, the Atlantic Ocean, that pulls us back, the nature and everything? And I think for Declan, sure, Limerick is so much part of his story. It's everything. Both of ours, we both grew up in very close to Adair in County Limerick. And do you know what? Limerick, of course, will always be where I'm from and home.
And you're always wrestling. Where I think I'm going to go to the grave wrestling. Where do I want to be? Yeah. Dublin, Donegal. I think I'll be asking that on my last hours.
I know.
Maybe I'll move.
This is it. Well, do you know what? I often think that Irish media could have more bases in the southwest of Ireland. And I think that there's no reason that there isn't a time in the future that Today FM could be broadcasting live from Limerick.
Okay, or maybe we can use Talk Studio in Donegal. That would be
stunning.
Super handy. Okay, there you go. We'll put in the request
here. We will.
And we have to talk about the podcast because it has been so successful. And you did have, I suppose, that huge success last year with the interview with Catherine Connolly, and all of those podcast interviews, I think people felt, were really instrumental in the success that she achieved during the presidential election. Who's on the dream guest list now, and what's next for the podcast?
Oh, that's a very exciting question. How to Gael has grown incredibly. It started as a bit of a passion project for me and Shivani Rourke and Dhiri Nealachan, both colleagues of mine in TG Cahir. We've kind of come up together as well in the industry. We're all the same age. We all love Gaeilge, and just, you know what, it started and it really grew at a pace that we never expected. And you're right, we had the opportunity to interview Catherine Connolly, President Connolly, at such a pivotal time in her campaign, and to do it through Gaeilge as well, which was really special. And, you know, it was the only Irish language interview that went out. And that for us just felt like such a great honour. And it's hard to top that, isn't it? But we've got some really exciting guests in the pipeline for 2026. Shivani Rourke is expecting a little Bob Oge very soon. So we'll have our first How to Gael baby, which is exciting. And also we're going, this time last year actually, we went on an international tour to Canada, Boston and New York. So it's incredible to bring the podcast to the diaspora and also to Irish learners in America and Canada, would you believe, that exist, and just have a great grow for Gaeilge. So we're doing similar this year. Some international dates to be announced soon, but we have some Irish dates: Cork Opera House on March 28th, the Ambassador Theatre on Easter Sunday. What a day! I mean, to be on the top of O'Connell Street the 5th of April, and also on St. Bridget's Day the 1st of February, we'll be at the Spirit of Kildare Festival to welcome in Imbolg and spring.
Oh, lovely. But any international listeners are to stay tuned.
Yes,
because you're going back on the road. What is the reaction when you take How to Gael over to Boston or to Canada, or indeed maybe you're planning to go to Oz, who knows?
Yeah, well, do you know what? We could have never expected it. When we first landed on to Canada, we were kind of thinking, okay, it's probably expats that's bought tickets, or people who are living over here with a bit of Gaeilge. But no, we were so surprised. Every room, there were listeners who just love Irish and think that it's a great language and want to be part of the story. Like, I'm sure, you know, it's very topical now. Everyone's talking about the revival and how cool it is. I mean, is it the hottest thing right now to be a Gaeilgeor? You see with Kneecap, Colleen Kuhn, all of this, there's so much pride in Irish culture, and language is our culture. And I think that that's really being felt by people outside of Ireland as well, which is really cool. There's a massive Gaeltacht in New York, believe it or not, and it's thriving.
I didn't know that. Can I just ask you briefly before you go, how did you know Kneecap all those years ago?
See, the Irish circles are small. The lads are close enough in age to me and the girls from How to Gael, and, you know, they'd be in Isle of Rock, this disco. You'd cross paths with all the good-looking fellas.
What? There was this secret world that us non-Gaelgors couldn't attend.
It was never a secret world, Ciara. You're always welcome. The Durs is always Oskilton.
Okay, next time. Next time. My next life, maybe, Louise Cantillon. Thank you so much.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.